what are the measures which are taken? Because as we know, the government took various initiatives, you know. The Reserve Bank took, the banking system, they took the initiatives. Now, one by one, we shall see what happened to the kind of measures which were taken by the government. One, food security was ensured. And as we know it, even till today, 80 crore people are getting the food from the government system, you know. This is very important to remember. Healthcare was given more attention by the government. More support was provided during the COVID-19. There was a kind of, you know, Atmanirbhar packages were announced by the government to ensure that the economy recovers as quickly as possible. And that is what we have seen over a period of time. These things happened actually. Recognizing the role of women in the economy, what government did? The government gave that the collateral free loans from the SHGs, the limit was raised. Earlier, they were getting, SHGs were getting the loans up to 10 lakhs without collateral. After the pandemic, the government decided and increased the collateral free loan limit from 10 lakhs to 20 lakhs, almost doubled, you know, to ensure that adequate credit flows to the microfinance sector without the physical collaterals. The third point, very important, the government increased the allocation under Mahatma Gandhi National Rural Employment Guarantee Scheme from 60,000 crores to rupees 1 lakh crore. This was ensured so that people who migrated from the urban areas to the rural areas, they get a livelihood, they get the employment. Therefore, the government increased the allocation as far as the NREGA is concerned. And this was to ensure that the livelihood is restored, the livelihood takes place for these people who migrated, especially from the urban areas to the rural areas. Let us, with this, the measures are quite large, you know, we'll see one by one, slowly we shall see. Government also ensured that the MSME definition itself was a little refined, you know, so that they get a credit little more freely. Freely in the sense, not free of cost, but without much of hassles, you know. So therefore, the definition criteria was redefined and a composite criteria in terms of the investment in plant and machinery and annual turnover was made applicable to the MSME units, you know. Banking correspondent, BCs, what we call, they were allowed to be part of the essential services. That's another amendment which government ensured. Why? The idea was to ensure that the cash withdrawals under the targeted direct benefit scheme takes place, you know. Once the BCs are allowed to operate as essential service, because in pandemic that was a major problem, to ensure that these people should be able to withdraw the cash from their accounts, and therefore the BCs were made a part of essential service. Government, state governments also took a lot of initiatives, you know. Various governments announced. Maybe I shall be able to touch few measures. Let us see one by one what happens. But series of measures were initiated by the state governments along with the central government to reduce the impact actually of the COVID-19. That's what the aims were there. Kerala government, what happened? Kerala gave a kind of, you know, package. The amounts are there, you can just see that. What for? They were given for micro, small, medium enterprises. The package covered the interest subvention on additional term loans and working capital loans, so that the adequate credit goes into the kind of MSM units. They are able to carry out their livelihood activities. They are able to carry out their businesses. The moratorium was imposed on the payment of the principal. The interest on loans from Kerala Industries Corporation, that was some kind of, you know, they were reduced, or the penalty was reduced. This is how it works, you know, that various state government came to the rescue of the microfinance units, especially in the pandemic, you know. Andhra government came with another scheme where they provided something like 1,100 crores to the MSM units. So basically the idea was to restore the kind of, you know, livelihood, restore the kind of employment to these people, you know. The kind of incentives were offered so that, you know, these people, they carry out their activities without much of a problem. Their working capital needs were addressed through the packages which were announced by the state government. The government of Gujarat, you know, they had an interest subsidy of 4% for loans up to 2.5 lakhs for the business people and the shop owners, you know. The reference is given to you so that in case you want to go a little more on these kind of measures, you can look to it. The reference is given at the end of this chapter also, so that you can go into the details, because this will be a long, you know, way to write all these measures here or give the details of these measures. But these measures were aiming at providing the liquidity to the MSME units so that they are able to carry out their activities on a regular basis or without much of a hindrance. So Uttar Pradesh had done very interesting work. What they did was the skill mapping of those people who reverse migration took place. As I explained to you, those people who moved from urban areas to the rural areas, the number is something like 32 lakh people. The government went for the skill mapping of these people and they started a labor employment exchange or a labor commission to look into these people, the problems of these people, and ensure that they get a employment at a local level. This is what the government did. Various governments, as I said, they were aiming at only two things. One, ensure adequate capital, maybe working capital for the MSME unit. And second, create a livelihood or restore the livelihood for these people who were affected by the pandemics. This is what all these measures are showing us. What happened to the Reserve Bank? What Reserve Bank did? Reserve Bank, as we know, they responded very, swiftly. They gave the liquidity problem because, as I said, the MFIs had a liquidity problem. So the RBI came into picture and they provided the liquidity to kind of, MFIs, to the various financing, including banks. They provided a special liquidity fund, which was, routed partly through even NABARD to see that the banks, MFIs, get adequate financial support, especially when these institutions were affected because of the non-repayments from the MFI clients. That is very important to understand. So RBI provided a liquidity support, actually. This is a kind of, as I said, more important point which RBI did was they provided a kind of, moratorium. They provided these clients with a 6-month repayment moratorium on the term loans. This is very important because these people were not able to repay the loans, actually, because the livelihood was affected, their income levels went down, they had to borrow from the private sector. So the Reserve Bank said they are the regulators of the banking system. So therefore, they gave a kind of idea that for 6 months on term loan, you should give a moratorium. Now, this is very important because RBI has to do two things. They had a kind of financial, discipline is also important, but at the same time, they had to take care of the kind of, microfinance clients also. So this was important. The RBI had to always to balance both the activities, so that the moratorium is given, also ensure that these people get support. The banks were provided more liquidity so that the banking system can carry out with their liquidity problem. This is basically because, as I said, the MFI clients, they affected the MFIs. The liquidity was the problem. So the RBI came into picture. They provided moratorium. They provided the concessional finance to these people so that the regular things happen. And this was ensured that the repayment moratorium is there till the kind of, there was a lockdown or something. Till that time, these people were asked not to repay the loans, or the banks were told not to insist on the repayment from the microfinance clients. This is what I said. RBI does a very, they had to walk on a fine line between the protecting the consumer's rights and ensuring financial stability. These are the two things which the RBI works: financial stability and the support to the microfinance. They try to balance, actually. They can't focus only on one. This is what the point is making it. Basically, the scheduled commercial banks were allowed to deduct. This is a kind of very important amendment which RBI took. The credit disbursed to the new MSMEs, there the kind of credit which was given to these units, that was deducted from the demand and time liabilities. For what purpose? For the purpose of calculation of cash reserve ratio. I will not go into those details at this juncture, but it is enough to say that RBI provided a kind of liquidity support to the banking system even through this measure. They said, okay, whatever the loans you are giving to MSMEs, don't worry, you can deduct from the NDTL. You can deduce from the demand and time liabilities so that they don't have to maintain the cash on this portion which is disbursed to the MSMEs. That was the point on which. The majors, the RBI also routed some of the kind of funding through NABARD. For example, the NABARD disbursed something like 25,000 crores under the special liquidity support. This facility was provided to whom? Provided to cooperative banks, to RRBs, and NBFC MFIs. This was ensured to ensure that the uninterrupted flow of credit is made available to the farmers in the wake of pandemic. Basically, all these are the development financial institutions who are at apex institutions. They ensured that these banks have the problem of liquidity. So they came to the rescue and provided the funds. RBI provided 5,000 crore to NABARD as additional special liquidity for extending the refinance to NBFC MFIs. This was specially for the first measure was to cooperatives, RRBs, the NBFCs. But the second bullet is showing that a special liquidity came to NBFC MFIs through NABARD. This was basically to support the overcome the liquidity problem of the NBFC MFI. And here when that fund came of 5,000 crore, it was ensured that the smaller MFIs, here of course the definition is a little different, but you can understand that all those who had a 500 crores or less portfolio that they were provided the liquidity. Because we know first, the small MFIs were affected more because of the pandemic. They required the support and these 5,000 crores helped the small MFIs to meet their contingency of the cash crunch. NABARD and SIDBI, SIDBI majors, let me tell you, they introduced a special product actually during the pandemic. For example, the first product came, they provided the interest, they provided the loans at an interest of 5%, and the loans were sanctioned within 48 hours. This was a digital interface actually. So the loans were expedited. The loans were given at cheap rate of interest. Secondly, the SIDBI came out and said they will give a liquidity support up to 2 crores with an initial holiday period of 12 months. This was another product which was brought by SIDBI for the benefit of MFIs because they did not have the recovery. So they provided the liquidity support. They also provided a kind of liquidity, a kind of moratorium in the recovery of these loan sections. Let me come to the first. We have seen the RBI measures, we have seen the NABARD measures, we have seen the SIDBI measures. Now there was a SADHAN. SADHAN is basically, as I said, SRO, self-regulatory organization. What they do? They also played their own role because these are the associations of the MFIs. What they did? They trained the people in creating awareness about COVID pandemic, what care has to be taken, especially the healthcare. That is what these SADHAN focused on, the training programs for the healthcare. Because that was a period which was essential to be taken care because that pandemic and the medical emergency has to be addressed. So the focus was on healthcare, Adequate knowledge was imparted to, and people were told, to take care of the vulnerable and the sick people. What should be the practices? They were given a kind of, training. They were provided the knowledge so that the communities are supported through the MFIs. The focus was on something like community health, the community education, the skills. That was focused on by the SADHAN. When I looked at the third bullet, the participants were given an opportunity for enhancing their skills and knowledge through webinars because the physical seminars were not possible. So the SADHAN came into picture and arranged an online kind of seminars or online kind of training programs for the employees of the MFIs, for the staff of the MFIs, so that they improve their knowledge, they improve their skills, they improve their contracts with the rural community. Very important because the physical distancing or the social distancing was to be followed as per the protocol was concerned. Very important, the SADHAN focused on imparting the various techniques, they were given a kind of education so that they can pass on, like use of mask, washing of hands, all these measures, they were repeated by the government, they were repeated by the institutions like SADHAN, so that the spread is reduced. That's what the idea was that at particular juncture. Various, SADHAN prepared a kind of videos, which were provided to the field staff so that the awareness is created, the impact of COVID is reduced, I will say, or to minimize. I know elimination was not possible at that juncture. So every institution tried its best to address the COVID-19 problem. This is one of the MFI. What they did, let us focus. First was RBI, banks, SADHAN, SIDBI, we are all did. Now how the MFIs did? The Sri Kshetra Dharmasthala Rural Development Project, this is in Karnataka. What they did at the MFI, you know, let us understand the steps taken by the MFI itself. One, they went for online meetings. The offline meetings were called off, you know, because they could not get in touch with the people physically. So they could train their people through online. You know. They were, the offices were equipped with the kind of latest audiovisual equipment to conduct the meetings, you know, because once this was new, you know, the offline, online, this was very, now we understand very clearly, but that particular juncture, there were problems. So the kind of regular equipments were provided, the meetings were conducted online. The staff of the SHGs, the staff of the MFI was told that you conduct some kind of programs, conduct some kind of groups of the people who have migrated from the urban areas, who have migrated from the cities, you know, form the SHGs of these people because they were affected because of COVID. They moved from the urban areas to the rural areas. So the SKDRDP took an initiative to form the groups of the people who came from the urban areas. They were trained actually so that they undertake a livelihood activity. They could undertake the enterprises to support their income levels and restore the economy or restore their own, you know, household needs, you know. They developed a kind of special products, you know. As I said, the CDB developed the products where the focus was on liquidity, the focus was on some kind of, you know, moratorium. This is very important. The SKDRDP joined the CDB and ensured that those products which were evolved by CDB, they were provided to the microfinance clients. It's very, you know, interestingly, these people did kind of, you know, they took the support of NABARD for conducting the livelihood enterprises. Because ultimately, the skills have to be improved. If you want to start a kind of new enterprise, you always require skills. So during this period, they sought more funds from NABARD to undertake the livelihood activities, the livelihood enterprises. Basically, the staff was advised. This is very important to understand. The MFI advised the staff not to talk about the repayment of loans or recovery, but ask the people about their health. That is what they were oriented actually during that pandemic period. That was very important, you know, because at that particular juncture, you could not talk of recovery. The problem was of moral support, you know. So the MFI did provide the moral support to the clients, you know. They maintained the contracts, but not for recovery, but for health of the situation, help of the people, the how to come out of the kind of problems which they are facing. Problem was of medical, you know, nature. So they were helped to come out of the problem. And this is what the government announced. So these people were acting as a bridge between the clients and the government agencies or the banking system. You know. The kind of very simple, you know, the house-to-house contact was actually popularized, you know, because community meetings were not possible because of the kind of pandemic, because of the contagious nature. So the mechanism was house-to-house campaign. That is what it happens, you know. The videos are prepared by SKDRDP to train the individual members and their families on COVID-19. What was the focus? The focus was preventing measures, you know, to be taken by each family so that the COVID doesn't spread, you know. This was very important at that particular juncture for the MFIs to ensure that these kind of initiatives are taken. They undertook even the children's education, you know. They provided the laptops, they provided the tablets, you know. And the amount is there, about 21 crore rupees were invested for providing these kind of, you know, laptops and palm tops to the people of the clients, you know. The staff was provided the food allowance, the medical care, and all those things, you know, they were taken care of by the SKDRDP. This is just to show how a MFI can initiate the steps if the COVID or medical emergency takes place. This is to understand and follow if needed in future. That's what it means, you know. This was basically a COVID loan was sanctioned by SKDRDP, something like 25,000 rupees were sanctioned. Irrespective of the current position, whether the existing loan is there or not, the guys were sanctioned additional loan of 25,000 rupees to meet their emergency, to meet their immediate cash needs. You know. This is what they did. They announced a moratorium between 23rd March and 30th June, you know, and also assured that the loans will be rescheduled or restructured if it is needed, you know. They reduce the rate of interest. This is very important. They reduce the rate of interest from 15 to 13.5%, you know, to reduce the burden of these people. So now this is what a MFI does when the kind of emergency comes. This is what they did. This is only an example. Many, many MFIs did this kind of thing. This is just to illustrate you what one of the MFIs as a case did in the COVID-19 pandemic. They gave a kind of, you know, the pension was given to the destitutes during this period. The MFI came into picture and managed that, you know. The kind of, you know, kitchens of the SKDRDP were used to cook food and serve the migrant labor. This was one of the major issues and one of the major support which the SKDRDP gave. They cooked the food in their kitchens and provided to the migrant labor because the labor were in different stages of transit. They required the food. The SKDRDP came forward and served the food to the migrant labor actually. What are the challenges? You know? What happens to the kind of, you know, this kind of pandemic? What are the challenges which the MFIs faced? You know? Please remember, all these loans were unsecured, so defaults are likely to be there. These were the small loans, especially for the small MFIs whose portfolio was less than 100 crore. They were affected more, you know, because they had the limited capital. And once they do not get the recovery, they get affected more actually. So what we are saying is, they had to take care of it because they have to extend moratorium. There was no choice for them. But the good point is, you know, that affected their recovery. That's okay. That point is okay. But what happened was the MFI maintained the contracts with the clients. That's very important. You know, 70% of the clients, they did agree that there were contracts between the MFIs and the clients. You know. They got a moratorium. 90% people did extend, get the kind of benefit of that moratorium. Please remember, work from home, what we did in the urban areas did not work for the MFIs because the MFIs are high touch model. There is a dependency of MFI staff on the clients and the clients' dependence on the MFI staff. This is very important. The high touch model did not enable the MFIs to go for the work from home strategy. And therefore, this one point we must remember, the nature of the MFIs is such that the high touch model is there, so it doesn't fit into that work from home strategy. The debt and refinance, you know, was largely available to the bigger MFIs. As I said, more than 100 crore portfolio, the MFIs were a little better. The small MFIs, they were affected more. What should we do? What are the suggestions if this kind of situation comes back, or how we should address this kind of thing? The MFIs should migrate to loan collection process from manual to digital platform. This is very important to understand that slowly we have to move from digital platform to the physical collection to digital platform to improve the collection efficiency. This is very important. We have to do it. Digitalize the collection. One. Second, the kind of, you know, the effect of such kind of disruptions can be reduced by widening the geographical coverage. In the sense, go for a larger number of states, go for the larger number of districts so that if such kind of pandemic happens again, the spread or the kind of impact of that pandemic will be reduced, will be minimized. You know. So one, go for digitalization of the collection process. Second, go for some kind of widening of the areas. You know, go for a large number of districts, go for a large number of states, so that even if one state or one district gets affected more because of the pandemic, the process will be okay in districts at least. You know. It is making a presumption that all the districts, all the states will not get affected by the same intensity at a point of time. Maybe some may be affected more, some may be affected less at a point of time. You know. That's what it means actually. That's the assumption which is made here. Design the customer-centric products. This is very important, you know. You must keep contact with the clients. That is what the MFIs did actually. As I said, 70 to 90% of the MFIs did maintain the contract with their clients, you know. This was very important because they wanted a moral support during that period, you know. Now, this context, you know, as we said, physical contacts were not possible. But the contacts through telephonic conversation could be maintained. Maybe a video call or maybe an audio call could be established between a client and the MFI. This is one of the suggestions which we are making, that the contacts need not be reduced, you know. Contact need not be made as zero, or the process has to continue. That's what it highlights. The next point is making it that the MFIs have to go for responsible lending. You know, how? they should avoid the multiple lending. That is very important, you know. Same MFI should not go for the lending where already the lending has taken place by another MFI. So the clients are not overburdened. The clients are not, they are heavily indebted. That care has to be taken, you know. The next point, the small MFIs, I explained to you many times about less than 100 crores. They must diversify their sources of funds. Maybe they must try with the banks, they must try with the NBFCs, they must try with the small finance banks and others to get the funding support from these institutions so that their dependency on a particular agency is reduced. That's what it means. Even the NBFCs can approach NABARD to get the refinance support, provided there are ifs. For example, the rating has to be of a particular nature, then only they get the support from the NABARD. But over a period of time, they must see that the sources of funds are diversified, a larger number of sources are approached for getting the funds. This is what we can do, you know. This is what I explained to you. We have to go more for digitalization, whether it is the banks, whether it is the MFI, because there is a kind of, you know, disbursements are okay. Now disbursements are through online, the accounts get credited. But we have to ensure that even the collection process gets now digitalized, you know. One thing which is happening in the post-COVID, that let me narrate at this juncture, the interest rates are rising. You must be realizing over a period of time, especially in the post-pandemic period, the rates of interest are rising of getting the loans from the banking system. Now, what happens? This puts a pressure on the NBFC, MFI's margins actually, because their cost of getting funds is increasing. Can they pass on that cost to the borrowers? If not, how to minimize it? Maybe they can go for improved use of technology so their cost of operations come down. But certainly the margins of the NBFCs are affected because of the kind of rising interest in the post-COVID period. You know. One more suggestion I want to make here. They must diversify the sources of funds. Maybe from the banks, maybe from NBFCs, maybe from developmental financial institutions. They must try to find out the various sources of funds so that, especially in the era of the rising interest, they should be able to get funding support from various agencies and minimize the cost of funds so that they do not pass on a very high rate of interest to a client, actually. That is the only worry which we have. We may, you know, this is what I explained to you. I may see a kind of collaboration over a period of time between the fintechs and the banks and MFIs. That's what is going to happen. You know. Please remember, fintechs are having one advantage. Fintechs are designed basically to have the kind of, you know, new products they can design. They can be grounded through a MFI route, you know. That's what we have to understand. And therefore, the collaborations are possible, you know. Please remember, the traditional banking has not been able to make a reach to the all segments of the economy. And therefore, we have to have a kind of collaboration. We have to go for widening. We have to go for deepening. All these things what we discussed holds true. But one of the areas could be, can we see a collaboration between the banking system and the fintechs for increasing the business ultimately? Ultimately, the banks, both fintechs are looking to the business, the banks are looking to the business. Can we have a kind of collaboration, you know? And we have a kind of better terms for the borrowers also. That's very important, we have to see. These are the references which you can just see. This is what I wanted, that Pandey and Ghosh. This is a reference I quoted when I was referring to the impact of COVID. You know, you can just, you know, look to it whenever the time permits you. These are the articles which I referred. The last bullet is basically from that experience which I shared from Indonesia. What happens in that? That's Indonesian experience which is highlighted there. Thank you very much.